Hi, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and this is Truth Be Told, Transformation, sharing tools for transformation to live your highest truth. I'm a longtime yogi, and one aspect of yoga that I love in my meditations is the use of mudra. Mudra is the hand postures that could be anything from a prayer to the Gyan mudra that you often know from yoga class, holding your thumb and index finger together. I've invited for my guest today Dr. Alexandra Chiron, and she has an even more expanded use and view of mudras. So I look forward to hearing about her knowledge of them and how we can use them beyond just what we know in yoga meditation. Welcome, Alexandra. And I hope I said your last name correctly. I didn't practice that with you before we got on.
That's okay. Close enough.
Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Truth Be Told Transformation. So let's start with how you came to write your book, The Modern Guide to Mudras.
Well, I actually started experiencing mudras through a classical Indian dance form called Bharatanatyam. And Bharatanatyam dance is a temple dance, an ancient temple dance that was done in worship. And in modern times, it's done for exercise and amazing performances. And I fell in love with the dance form. And so later, when my publisher asked if I knew anything about mudras, I was like, actually, I've been training in these mudras for the better part of a decade now. So perhaps I can share what my guru has taught me. So that's how I came to write the book. And it's been a journey because I wanted to compile a lot of the mudras that I knew through classical dance with the mudras that I knew through my spiritual work, which are more modern mudras, you know, not ancient practice in the temples, but things that people have developed for everyday life in the modern times. So I tried to compile an ultimate guide so that anyone could use these in their everyday life.
Fantastic. Well, let's stay with dance, because when you mention classical Indian dance, I don't think about mudras with dance. That is definitely not a correlation. So can you give us a description?
Sure. So I'm sure that as a spiritual person and those listening who are involved in spiritual practices, you know the phrase that energy goes where attention goes, you know, or energy flows where attention goes. Yeah. And that is very much true for dance. If you watch any dancer, they almost move the energy from one part of their body to the next. So maybe they might move their head at first, and then the movement moves down to their hips, and your eye will follow this movement. It's never the whole body wiggling at once, right? That would be crazy. And so mudras are a big part of Indian dance, where you bring the attention to the hands, and then these ornate, beautiful designs come from the hands that have been trained over the years. Some of them are actually pretty hard to form with your hands when you're out of practice. And they help to tell a story. The amazing thing about Bharatanatyam is you can watch somebody dance, and even if you have no experience with Indian classical dance, you'll feel like that performer is speaking right to you. That's how I got into the dance form. I watched a performance where a woman was telling the story of Krishna. And when she looked at me and gestured, it was like she was speaking to my heart. Just like if somebody looked at you across the room and kind of gestured for you to turn on a light switch, you would instantly know what they were saying to you. That's what the mudras said to me, and I knew I had to study more.
Fascinating. I mean, now that you mention it, it's very true. And what I think this is a cool segue that takes us into cross-cultural use of mudras. So I'm going to make a comment about the Hawaiian dancers, right? The hula.
Yes.
Right, because yes. That's storytelling right there.
Absolutely. And I have tried hula dance. It is very, very difficult. Not only is it just physically a demanding dance, but the connection between the hands and the movements of the feet are very difficult to do together. It's like the whole patting your head and rubbing your stomach thing. Well, the Hawaiians have that down pat. They have incredible bodily control with their minds.
Do you have any other examples of dance around the world that you feel that you've considered and maybe is relevant or applicable?
Yeah, I think one more really relevant dance form, because a few of these dance forms like Hawaiian hula and like Bharatanatyam are very, very strenuous. And if you're starting to get older, or perhaps you have some injuries from a life well lived, those are not the dance forms for you. But there are many types of Oriental dance that do use some form of mudras or some form of hand dance. And one of those is belly dance. And belly dance is for everybody, big bodies, small bodies, old bodies, young bodies. And so if anyone out there is inspired by dance and hasn't given it a try, I always recommend that you start out with belly dance. And I think I'll be belly dancing my whole life. I was belly dancing when I was giving birth to my children.
Okay, so we've spoken about your discovery of mudra through dance and, you know, bringing it back to India now. That's certainly my knowledge of mudra is through yoga. So more sophisticated, because as I started the show, we talked about a couple different types of mudras. So tell me about your understanding of yoga, of mudras in a yoga practice.
So I'm not an expert in yoga. So I do have to say that, because I know there are many people out there that are more educated than me when it comes to yoga in general. But I do believe that mudras are indeed like yoga for your hands. The difference is the storytelling piece, which you can then use to sort of say a prayer or cast a spell. So I think that yoga, of course, is a wonderful way to become introduced to mudras, but there's definitely an expansive use of mudras outside of yoga.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we're going to stay with yoga for a minute because it's a personal passion of mine, and I really, really like that. And I like the words that you are using, and I'm going to add to the list focus. Right?
Yes.
So we're focusing our energy. And I study Kundalini yoga, which is the yoga of that works with the nervous and glandular system. And I think it's really interesting to work with the yoga, with the mudras, and really feel those, the effects of them while you're in a meditation. And so it's my understanding that when we touch our fingertips, we are activating meridian points that go from our hands up to our brain. So I'm just inviting our listeners to contemplate that as we continue to talk about the different ways the mudras are used. So what do you think? I mean, you know, it's really interesting, right? Just the energy that one feels from the index finger to the thumb, right? I mean,
oh, yeah. I think that, you know, mudras are obviously thousands of years old, but some of these older practices you can see in just our modern traditions, like wearing the wedding ring and how the wedding ring is worn on the ring finger. And the reason for this is it was believed that the left ring finger had a meridian that would go directly to the heart. And so the connection of the wedding ring to the ring finger was made.
Wow, that's great. Well, and the left side is thought to be the side of receiving. So
exactly.
You're receiving that ring. And then my understanding from my yoga studies, now I don't know if you know palmistry and how this ties in.
I sure do, yes.
Right, so you can inform us that way. But the ring finger is affiliated with the sun, our health, vitality, correct? So I don't know if that's how that correlates, but that's one reason to have the, again, put energy, to put a stone or, you know, a fine precious metal on that finger.
Very much so. It's that Apollo energy, that energy of wanting to be a light, to be on stage, to fame and fortune come from this energy source. And so definitely we should celebrate and enhance our energy vortexes wherever we have them on our bodies.
Fantastic. Okay, well, I invite you to go from there. I mean, if we wanted, you know, I want to say, if you want to talk about the other energies of other fingers as how they then continue to work on in other works of focus, intention, and energy.
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to make that parallel between palmistry, but I love that you did, because I also wrote a book called Palmistry Every Day.
Lucky
and
me.
The interesting thing about palmistry is it's not just like one and done, you get a palm reading and that's your palm reading, you know, like your natal chart for astrology. The palms of your hands change over time, and anybody knows that who looks at their old hands after having young hands, right? But definitely the things we do in life change in our hands. And you can sort of use your palms as like your GPS for your life, your fate, your fortune, your future. And so I definitely encourage people who are interested in palmistry to photograph, diagram, or even photocopy their hands and watch them change over time. Because yes, each of these fingers has a meaning, even the thumb has, that's our source of willpower, you know, and the different shapes of people's thumbs can tell you how much willpower they may have and may not have. Your pinky finger is your Mercury finger, which has to do with health and communication. People with a crooked pinky finger might not be entirely honest, things like that, right? Our middle finger is our Saturn finger. I won't hold that up on video, but that has energy with regards to father figures, with your sense of duty, things like that. We all know that the pointer finger shows leadership, right? And so that's your Jupiter finger. That's going to bring in that pointing energy of changing things in your life. And so, yes, when you add mudras to that, when you think about what fingers you're connecting to each other, you can start to shape your intention with that. Take your willpower, your thumb, and maybe connect that with your leadership potential in order to lead yourself to the life that you want to manifest.
So that is typically, okay, so we're discussing again, back to the Gyan Mudra, the thumb and index finger. So what is your thought about how that has been used as for meditation?
I think it's a wonderful mudra because not only is it simple and straightforward and easy to describe for those of you listening on audio, that's just where you touch your pointer finger to your thumb and allow your other fingers to sort of unfurl like a lotus flower. And this is a simple mudra for everyone to perform. Some of the other mudras are a little more complicated and they can take time to develop and stretch. Like another mudra that I'm performing right now, Shukutung, is one where you have your ring finger sticking out at like a perpendicular angle from the palm of your hand. And yeah, you're doing it really well. You're a yoga master now, I know. Oh, no. But the idea is that this one took me a long time to do. And everybody's body is different. So you'll notice a little curve in my finger that doesn't happen for some people. Some people hold it like sock straight. And I always make sure that my thumbs are tucked in real nice and close to the flat palm of my hand. So this is a mudra that is very useful, and it's useful in meditation, it's useful in dance, it's useful in working magic, but it is difficult for the average person to do. I remember when I was first learning it, when I was driving my car, every time I stuck at a stoplight, I'm trying to make this mudra.
Excellent.
And I'm trying to practice and get it done. So some of these things are harder than others. So I do think that the simpler ones are really good ones to start out with so that you don't have to worry, like, am I doing it right? But I do want to encourage people out there to not worry if you're doing it right. Everybody's body is different. Even if you're missing a finger, even if you have lack of flexibility due to injury, whatever approximation of the mudras you make are going to be worthwhile to you.
I love that. So what is this mudra for?
It's for a number of different things. I've used it in a lot of dance forms to direct energy, certainly. It can be used to depict different things, such as it's almost like a parrot's head, or also throwing a spear. And so because of throwing the spear, like when you point your pointer finger forward as well, this can be one for directing energy towards something. You can imagine throwing a spear at what you want. So like imagine that you had like a vision board or something, for example, and you want to sort of put your energy into that vision board. You could do so simply by gesturing at it with the Shukutung mudra and sending your energy into that vision board. Yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you. That's great. I'm going to keep practicing that. It feels good. I'll study that one. So yeah. What are some other, let's just run down a few others and tell us some stories.
Let's tell some stories. What are some other good ones to use? I'm trying to think of what kinds of mudras. Well, another one that's like a kind of like an energy sender mudra that's also very simple is just holding up your three fingers. I mean, some people will know that like the three fingers held together is like the Girl Scout pledge, you know,
yeah.
Certainly. And people recognize it from the Hunger Games movie. You know, it's like a It's like a sign that means to pledge or to promise, right? And when you move the fingers apart, it becomes to appear like a trident. And that's where it becomes like an energy that you can send. And I mean, you probably know, many people know that in many cultures, it's considered impolite to point. Well, why is that? Because when you point, you're sending energy. And so in some cultures, people don't know whether you're sending good energy or you're sending a curse, right? Mm. And so this Trishura Mudra is like a trident. It's like a protective energy. It's something that you can wield when you're feeling unsure and to use as a source of protection and strength for yourself. It's also the sign of the goddess Kali, you know, because she's also strong, and sometimes she carries a trident in her depictions. So there's a lot of these strength symbols, like even I can think of so many.
I just want to reinforce for those who are listening and not watching on YouTube,
right,
that it is really basically 1, 2, 3 with your fingers, and you're holding down your pinky finger with your thumb, and you've spread those fingers wide, the first three fingers.
Yeah.
Spread wide. And it's great. It's I mean, again, the mudras, there is an activation that goes with holding these postures. I mean, this is a posture.
And everyone's familiar with like the prayer hands, you know, your hands just press together. And in Indian dance form, we raise the elbows too, so that they're straight out, right?
Yeah.
And you know that from yoga. And this is called Anjali. And Anjali is a pose for prayer and for acknowledging the divine. And so when we say namaste, for example, we're acknowledging the divine within you is the same as the divine within me. And you can feel when you press those hands together, this sort of this self-awareness moment. It's like you're giving pressure to yourself. You can feel that feedback when you hold this pose. And that kind of encourages that acknowledgement of the true self. And there's other mudras as well that are more complex. On the cover of the book, you can see kind of a depiction of the Atman mudra, which is also a true self mudra. And these are a little more complex, maybe difficult to describe via audio, but there's a lot of mudras that are meant to create these different pressure points. Yes. Within the hand that you can hold and focus on, like in meditation, so that you keep acknowledging yourself. You've got this pressure, this give and this take within yourself that you're doing.
I really There's feel also it. I really part. Feel it. I'll comment on that one just because my teacher, Tej, who has been on the show in the past, she would definitely have us, I mean, when we're bringing our hands into prayer position to start class, this is active. This is not a passive posture. This is active. Shoulders are relaxed, right? But the hands are up and straight, and those elbows are, again, you're really working with the angles, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, in dance, I was taught to hold, many of the mudras are going to be in front of your chest, but not pressed against your chest. And your elbows are always going to be up. They're not going to be sagging down to your sides.
Okay.
And that helps you kind of maintain this active awareness, this active intention. And it can kind of be a workout over time as well, definitely. There's also mudras for, you know, the divine feminine, the divine masculine. I saw today that it's Trans Day of Visibility. So for any transgender individuals out there who are trying to get in touch with their divine feminine or divine masculine, I'll share a couple of those mudras.
Please.
For the divine feminine, there's the Yoni mudra, and there's a complex form and an easy form. So I'm going to talk about the easy one since we're on audio for some. If you simply put your hands up and together with an interlace, just your pinky fingers and ring fingers. So it's almost like you're holding an offering plate of sorts. And then you hold that out flat in front of your chest. This is a version of the Yoni mudra. It's feminine. It allows you to feel those receiving energies. For the divine masculine, I would recommend the Shivalingam mudra, and that's where you bring your thumb pointing up and set it flat down on your other flat hand. And in dance, we typically kind of rotate that thumb hand forward around the other hand and then set it down on top of the hand. And this is a masculine mudra. And so if you're looking for that manly masculine power, this is a good mudra to hold. Of course, there's many mudras associated with Shiva, who is very masculine.
Wow, that's fantastic. I like that one a lot. Great. It's powerful. And again, just to know about it in dance, because there's movement involved in, you know, in the association with hula that we just discussed, because a lot of times for me, my mudra work would be far more quiet, you know, still.
Yeah. Oh, well, here's another example of a classical mudra that has movement built into it. And it's a springtime mudra. It represents the bee. And it's called Brahmarescheva. Brahmarescheva is the bee. And so you can think of this mudra as bringing spring energies when you're trying to bring that love energy, when you're trying to bring that creativity energy, you're trying to drum that up in your body and in yourself. Let me see if I can describe this while I'm doing it. So you'll start by putting the pads of your thumb and your middle finger together on each hand. And then you're going to curl your index finger around, and you're going to allow your pinky finger and your ring finger to just stick out. So now you've got two of them, right? Do it for both hands, hold them so that they're kind of flat on the plane, on the horizontal plane, and then wiggle them so that the little pinky and ring fingers are wiggling up and down. That's Brahmarescheva. And then you can even move them in like little circles. Brahmarescheva, and this is the bee. So these are our little pollinators that come to enrich our lives with all of that creative energy.
Wow, so. That's crazy. I feel that in my ring finger, especially the left one. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I love it. It takes practice to do.
My middle finger, my Saturn finger.
Yes.
Is where I'm really feeling it.
Yeah, I love it. It's something that can help you kind of like shake out any jitters, you know.
Okay.
You see actors ready to get on stage and they're shaking their hands like that.
Right.
Maybe they should be doing Brahmarescheva instead.
All right, I'll do that before my next show. I should have had you give that to me in advance of our talk, but I think we're doing fine.
Yes, absolutely.
Is clapping a mudra?
It's not per se a mudra. There are certain mudras that do have the hands together, like as we spoke before, Anjali, where they're pressed together, but it's not necessarily the clap. Yeah. Another one we put our hands together is called Chakram, and that means wheel. And what it is your hands put together kind of at right angles to each other. So they're palms together, one against another. And then this one moves kind of thusly, where you can shift their positions. So this means wheel. And I really like this when I'm doing magical work, because sometimes when I'm working with magic and manifestation, it can feel like you're turning a wheel, you know?
I like that.
You're making this force come into motion. And so that is another mudra where the hands are pressed together like that. The clap itself is not a mudra per se, but it's definitely something that can be really useful in a ritual, obviously. You know, you're creating that sound and making that energy within your hands. I think rubbing hands together and clapping are both wonderful things to do to warm up your hands before working with the mudras, especially if you're new to them, because you can actually cramp up if you hold a mudra for a very long time. And so,
tell us a little bit more about magic work with mudras. I mean, I love that part of your book, that's something that you inform us, because I mean, certainly when you think about it, we think about the sorcerer, the sorceress using our hands, right? A projection.
Gesturing. Yes, you can make it very theatrical. What I really love about using mudras when doing magic and ritual, and just for a little background, you know, I'm a Wiccan, so that's my practice, which is a form of paganism, earth-based worship. And we use things like candles in our spells, and we use all kinds of tools. But I think that some people can get a little bogged down with all the tools. I mean, the tools are cool, okay? My house is full of them. But I think that sometimes it can be a barrier to some people, you know, like if you can't afford the fancy bell, you know, you can clap instead, that kind of thing. It can be a barrier for people who can't afford it, or like if you're stuck in a hospital bed and you don't have the tools with you, but you always hopefully have your hands with you. And so the mudras can then take the place of these things, and they can be, you know, the ringing of the bell, and they can be all of those things that you might be missing. And you can also add a little bit of that theatricality to your spells. You know, it is nice to gesture over a candle and feel like you're really putting that energy physically into the candle.
So can I ask you about that? Because I love candles myself. So what would that gesture over candle be? I'm getting some free advice here.
Well, we've actually got a lot of different candle magic that you can do. There's kind of like different phases of candle magic, right? Like the first stage I like to call dressing the candle. I mean, it's not, I like to call it, that's something that's commonly said. Dressing the candle is where you put oil on the candle that will enhance it. And perhaps there's herbs that are steeped in the oil and things like that. Those dressing gestures, you can use mudras in those gestures. You know, you can, for example, you can apply it with your fingertips. And then this can be if you curl your index finger around, it looks like a mudra called kangula, which is, it looks like a fruit, you know, so it's like you're creating this fruit from your magic. And you can just dress the candle with your fingertips in that way. And then that adds a little bit of extra stuff, right?
Energy,
extra mojo to your magic.
Yes.
We all know about like drawing symbols in the air, right? Like a pentagram, for example. And just the classic pointed finger is su qi, which is great. That's directing energy. But you can add any mudra to this. You know, you can add your favorite mudra, right? Where you can draw a pentagram over your candle, and then that can be invoking the energy, you know. And depending on which direction you draw the pentagram, you can invoke water energy, fire energy, things like that, right? This is another, you know, where we've got that chakram mudra, the wheel, you know. Right. You can do this gesture afterwards, almost like dusting your hands off, you know, finishing up the spell, you know, tying it off, and it can be like sealing the magic. So these are just three spots in candle magic: the dressing of the candle, the lighting of the candle, a gesture over that, and then a gesture afterwards, you know, after you say your chant, to just seal the spell. These are three points at which you can add mudras, but there's so many that you can add. It's like mix and match, you know, your combinations.
That's great. So, well, yeah. And all the more reason that we should check out your book for more ideas on that. But
yeah,
no,
there's
that.
A lot of mudras. I couldn't go through them all right now. It's a whole bunch. But one thing that I think is a really great piece of this book is in the back, the appendix. There's a list of different things that you might do mudras for, you know, like if you're feeling angry, you can look in the back and there's this appendix section that'll tell you the different mudras that can help you quell your anger, things like that. And so my publisher asked for that. And at first I was like, oh, that's going to be tough. But once I completed it, I was like, wow, this is a really powerful section of the book. It's almost a shame that it's in the back with the appendix. So everyone listening, you get the secret piece, which is the appendix at the back, is one of the best parts.
No, I love that. So what is any other examples of day-to-day mudras? I mean, one that comes to mind is the peace sign.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the peace sign.
Right.
Yeah, there are so many mudras that we use just in everyday life. And some of us know there are rude gestures too that are used in everyday life. But so we have this beautiful gesture that we have with our peace sign. We can also make it look like scissors, like if we're cutting a cord, and then it becomes a gesture that we can use to cut things in magic. I used it when I was trying to sort of cut ties with someone who had formed this sort of toxic relationship with me. And I felt like I needed to cut the umbilical cord with that person. And so just using that gesture as part of hypnosis and ritual was really healing for me, right? The crossed fingers, you know, for good luck.
Yeah.
That's another one, right? And there's so many other good luck symbols in other cultures that we might not know, like pressing thumbs, which is where you make a fist, but your thumb is inside your fist and you just kind of squeeze
That's
your
German,
thumb.
right?
Yeah.
Ich
Yeah, it's actually a number of
Daumendrücken.
different
Yeah,
cultures.
ich drücke die Daumen. Yeah, you know, isn't that funny? I was never really sure. I'm like, what do they do? Do they just, but you're, I like the way that you're telling us to tuck the thumb inside the fist and hold it that way.
Absolutely.
And that's
And then
considered luck, okay?
we have
For good
so many
luck.
gestures, and it really helps you understand how more mudras can crop up in our culture at any time. I mean, I gesture at my kids, you know, the I love you symbol for you know, sign language, American Sign Language, and it's become something that now whenever I form that with my hand, I can instantly feel like that rush of mommy hormones, you know, the oxytocin,
Oh, that's beautiful.
because I'm so used to telling my children I love them with that sign.
I never knew that. Now, a lot of for other people, the pinky and index finger with the Saturn with the middle finger and the ring finger down, thumb out. Now, that could be kind of, I think, the metal symbol, right? The horns.
Yes, that's another one that is a very common symbol, the horns, the sign of the horns. If you put the thumb in, it's the sign of the horns. The thumb out, it forms ILY, which is I love you in
Okay.
American Sign Language. We put the thumb in, that's the sign of the horns. Now, this is another masculine symbol for anybody out there trying to bring through your masculine sense of yourself. It's a protective symbol. And in some cultures, it can be rude, though, because it can be used again with that pointing.
Oh,
For
is that
hexing someone,
hexing
right?
of some
And you can
sort?
actually use it to defend against evil magic in the same
Okay.
way. You just point the horns at the person who's sending the negative energy and
Back
waggle them
at
back
you.
and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, right back at you,
Back at you.
So,
Right.
yeah, that's
Right.
another really common one.
But yeah, that was
Absolutely.
definitely one that I was curious about. What about Spock? Live long and prosper.
That one, we don't have a mudra that precisely mimics that one. No.
Did they make that up for the show?
They did make that one up for the show. It's a good one, though.
It's a
I
good one.
mean,
And you know, in I've definitely had Kundalini yoga meditations, kriyas that have included this.
Yeah,
So,
there's a
yeah.
similar mudra, except for what you do is you hold the ring finger down.
Okay.
So the hand is kind of split in a similar way, but the ring finger is down. And that one's called Mayura, which is supposed to represent a peacock. Like you can actually kind of like
Oh.
wiggle your hand down to your sides, and it's almost like you're showing your peacock feathers,
Yeah.
right? And so you know, this one can really represent beauty, and you can work with it if you're trying to enhance your own beauty or the way you're seen by others, or even your own perceptions of yourself to change for the better. Yeah.
It's funny, I can't keep the pinky up. It's hard to keep the
I
pinky up.
know. Yeah, there's another one for
So you
practice,
have to
right?
practice. I'll
And
be
then,
driving around trying to do that at the red lights, of course.
And then you just kind of move it like a rainbow around you because, yeah, exactly. That's like a
Wow,
peacock,
that is
right?
so powerful. I mean, it's I know these, and yet I don't incorporate them the way you're suggesting that we do. I mean, for the art of dance, that's one, but you're talking to us about other things, and in terms of perhaps a ritual, right? You mentioned specifically magic. I know as I became more informed about mudras, I would find myself back in my office days, I'd be under the table with my fingers, you know, using, I use the communication one, thumb to pinky finger for that mercury, and just try to, I don't know, stay alert, say the right things, but of course, subtly, you know, under the table, under the desk.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one strength of the mudras too, is that they are something that you can do discreetly. You know, you can
Yeah.
have it. Everybody knows about crossing your fingers behind your back when you're telling a white lie, right? Well,
Also.
now you can do things to empower yourself in more common ways. You know, like one mudra that I think is really is a modern mudra where you pinch your index finger and your thumb together, and then touch your two hands together. Then allow your middle fingers to touch, and then just relax the other two fingers. They can touch together as well. This gesture, if you kind of you can hide this under a desk, It's called the Keep It Together Mudra. And this is one for when you are feeling really angry at someone or stressed out and you're worried you might say something that you regret. Just, you know, you can hide that in your lap pretty easily. And it's the Keep It Together Mudra. It works even better if you practice with it, like in meditating in a peaceful set, in a meditating in a peaceful state, and then you bring it to the real world where you're more stressed out. This is a common just hypnosis technique. If anybody's undergone hypnosis, they'll know that the hypnotist will often make you hold a hand pose when you're like thinking of one situation, and then later you can renew that vibe that you had in that situation just by holding that hand pose again, right? It's kind of a trigger, a key for your mind to open up that mental state again. So meditate peacefully with that Keep Together Mudra and then bust it out when you really need it.
Brilliant. That's great. Yeah, put that into practice. I really like that. You know, I want to share another concept around how these mudras can be tools for the day-to-day. I studied with a woman named Siddhi out of Santa Barbara, very wise yogi. And she knew a lot about mudras and would, there was a certain way that she encouraged the eating of food with your fingers because you were projecting your energy into that food and getting it ready for your body to take it in. So by eating with your hands, I mean, obviously you're not going to do that with chili. But if you do it,
you might, if you were in India, I know. You just use some naan bread, you right. know, no problem.
That you're making me hungry. That sounds good. Yeah. But I mean, it's a great way to think about it's, I mean, everything we're doing, it's like a prayer. I mean, it's really when you start to become aware of all these different ways to move through life, it's all a meditation, all is yoga.
It really is. I think that we get too caught up in mental gymnastics of day-to-day life. And sometimes even spiritual people can kind of treat their body like a car that you drive your brain around in, but it's so much more than that. It's an integral part of the magic, and our hands shape that magic.
Very much so. Any more correlations with the palmistry? I mean, is that something that you talk about in the book, or do we have to take a separate look at your palmistry?
In this book, but I really like that correlation that you've drawn. This one's supposed to be kind of for beginners. And I think that if I were to make an advanced version later, I would definitely integrate the palmistry. But you know, all that I just want to reiterate, you know, that with palmistry, your palms do change. You know, you're talking about that Apollo finger, that sun finger. Sometimes people will see a sign that's a star under Apollo. And that can be both a blessing and a curse, you know, like fame can be like a blessing or a curse. And some people, when they see a star under Apollo, they go, oh, no, you know, or some palmistry readers will say, oh, no, you have a star under Apollo. Oh, no, you're cursed, you know. And these are things that you can consciously change. And using mudras and magical work is one way to do so. I mean, sure, physically, you can see that the way you move your hands are creating those lines in your hands. But you're also reflecting that energy of those peaceful mudras and things out into your life, you know, as above, so also below, as within, as without, so also the soul. It's very, the universe is full of patterns. And the more that we can become conscious of how we are participating and dancing with those patterns, the better.
Beautifully said. Our time has gone so quickly, Alexandra. Thank you so much for being here and sharing so much knowledge and very unique knowledge. I think it's great. And I encourage everybody to check out your book, Modern Mudras, right? What's the entire title? Tell us the whole title. The Modern Guide to Mudras.
Create balance and blessings in the palm of your hands. Yep. Modern Guide to Mudras.
Fantastic. Thanks again for talking to us. It's been a fascinating show. And I will be, there's just a whole new awareness around our hands and our fingers, what we're doing. All peace. Right.
Thank you. Peace.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been Truth Be Told Transformation. I'm Bonnie Burkert with a new episode every Wednesday. You can see Tony Sweet here on the same channel with a live show Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific. And Robert Hensley has the Minuteman Report on Mondays live at 3 p.m. Pacific. We are here to help raise the vibe. Thanks for sharing. following and letting everyone know that we're here. And we appreciate you listening. Until the next time.